Zechariah chapter number 14, and I want to read verse number 9 for our opening text here tonight. And then we'll be going through a journey. We'll be going from the beginning to the end and a stop in between. Amen. But Zechariah chapter number 14 and verse number 9 tonight. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one, or his name only. Amen. You can be seated again tonight. I want to read this one more time. Of course, it's talking about the last days. It's talking about when Christ rules, God rules. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord. Means there's not going to be a bunch of gods anymore. It's going to be one. Because all the rest of them have been cast into the lake of fire. And his name one, or his name only. Praise God. I want to preach tonight on God's final words. It's interesting. Of course, it's God's word. We call it God's word. We believe it's God's word. But as we go back to the reality of God is not going to be defeated. He is going to rule and reign. Ever since his creation, the powers of darkness have been trying to defeat God and his purpose. But it's not going to happen. You may wonder, well, why in the world does the powers of darkness keep trying? Well, see, that's what pride does. Pride just won't give up. Even though they know they're defeated, their pride won't let them give up. And so the enemy marches on, but God's plan marches on also. God cannot be defeated in his creative purpose for the earth and its people. In the beginning, there was only God. In the ending, there will be one Lord and his name one. His name only. Amen. So we find in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is one of the number one portions of Scripture, Genesis 1 and 1, that you need to believe. If you don't believe Genesis 1 and 1, then you don't have faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have faith in God. God created the heaven and the earth. But I want you to notice how he did it. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. You know the creation just as well as I do. It's all about, and God said, and it happened. It's amazing how science has finally moved and come to the place where, you know, in their efforts try to discredit God, they went to great lengths of producing the theory of evolution, and then they're moving to this realm where said, well, everything just happened from a sound wave. Thinking they're going to discredit God and thinking that their evolution theory and their Big Bang theory and that all their theories are going to produce something that's worth something. All they're doing is proving God said. It's called a quark. I've heard about it 10, 15 years ago. But they're still bringing it around and trying to say, well, everything came from a sound wave. Duh. We've been trying to tell you that for decades. Hallelujah. That God created all things in the beginning. God said, and it happened. I want you to notice how it happened. As we read these scriptures in Genesis chapter number 1, we find that the Spirit of God is sitting there, is waiting there, and just moving upon the face of the waters. And the moment that God the Father said, let there be light, the Spirit of God brought it to pass. Wow. See, you're going to find the Spirit of God in the beginning. Guess where you're going to find him at the end? Same place. Guess where you're going to find him in the middle? Praise God, in you. Hallelujah. In you, in me. Praise God. See, God's final words. God's going to have the final say. And so in the beginning, God began to speak. God's word began to come forth. And of course, we understand God created all things. God created man and woman. We understand that. We realize that that's truth. That's the way that it is. Hallelujah. And throughout the period of time, from the beginning all the way to the end, in the middle, God is working his plan of salvation. We preached about that just recently, that how God's plan of salvation and all the mighty things that God has done for mankind through Jesus Christ. So right now, and in the middle, from the beginning to the end, right in the middle is this time where Christ has come. And I just want to share this portion of scripture once again, because we all know it. We've learned it ever since we were children. And it's a scripture that's been put on plaques and put on crosses and put on pictures, and probably one of the most quoted scriptures in the whole wide world, but yet one of the least that is acted upon. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. In other words, they'd rather have their evil deeds than deliverance from them. Jesus Christ came into the world, this great plan of salvation, this plan of reconciliation, this plan of God, amen, that he began to speak through his prophets in the Psalms, all through the days of the Old Testament, and all through the days of darkness, if you will, until Jesus Christ came on the scene, and that baby was born in a manger, and God became flesh, hallelujah, to bring about the reality and to bring about the power of God's plan of salvation, because the end's coming. I'm getting ahead of myself just a little bit here, but Jesus Christ said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and I am the end. Amen. You see, right now, we're living in that realm of grace. We're living in that time when God is giving men and women opportunity to know him, to be cleansed from their sins, to be filled with his Spirit, to build that relationship with him, because there is coming a time of judgment. God is going to judge this world for its rejection of Jesus Christ. We are looking at the things in America that are going on. I mean, chaos is in America. I mean, it's chaos, church. It is chaos. The things that men are doing in the political arenas is total chaos. Evil, corrupt. I mean, just wicked. What is going on in the political arenas, lies after lies after lies, because they don't agree with what someone else is doing. All they do is start lying about it. So I don't know whether you heard the news today or not about the 4,000 immigrants that are marching towards the Mexican-American border, and nobody's doing a thing about it. And our president says, well, if they make it all the way to the border, then we will do something about it. And of course, we've got elections coming up in just a few weeks. Now, have you wondered why 4,000 people are marching towards the border at this particular point in time? Doesn't take a rocket scientist. Oh, yeah. Calamity. Trying to get things stirred up to try to get things swayed their direction. They'll stop at nothing to get their agenda, church. There is an agenda out there. God has interrupted it. Oh, yeah, God has interrupted it just for this portion of time. I don't know how long it'll last, but it's fixing to be unleashed, and evil is going to flood America and this world. And you see why? Because the end's coming. Judgment's coming. But right now, we're in that time of grace. Right now, we're in that time where God is moving, and God is working, and God is reaching out to all those who will hear his voice, hear his word. You see, we're moving towards the end. And what I'm after here, God's final words. We have God in Genesis beginning to speak, bringing this world, this earth into existence, bringing man into existence. And God has been speaking all throughout the ages of our history. God has always had a man. God has always had a voice. God has always spoke, and he has preserved his written word. Hallelujah. And it speaks fathoms if we'll read it. If we'll listen to the Spirit of God, it speaks fathoms. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is the answer to every circumstance and situation we have in our lives. He's not the answer in the form of a magician or a genie in the bottle, but he has an answer from his word that if I will accept it, I will believe it, and I will put it into action in my life, it will change my life and my life circumstances. Hallelujah. A lot of times the kids up there at the detention center would kind of get the misconception, well, Jesus then just needs to get me out of here. No, you're missing the point. You're missing the reason why you're in here. That's what he wants to deal with. That's where he wants to help you. He wants to change you on the inside so you don't have to be in there anymore. Hallelujah. And so we see then it's a matter then of believing, accepting, receiving, and obeying God's word that brings the change and the power of God into my life. See, I'm dealing here tonight with God's final words. And so we move then in the magnificent book of Revelation, especially the last two chapters. We're carried forward once again in the spirit into the never-ending glories of a renewed earth with a great creator and redeemer dwelling there with his people eternally. If you have your Bibles, open them up. Once again, to Revelation chapter 21 and 22, I really think a person ought to read this at least once a week to remind us of how the end's going to be. Amen. I read it again this afternoon, and I thought, wow, this is awesome, of what God is preparing and what God is going to do in the end. Sometimes we forget he's the beginning and the end. Sometimes we're so consumed with what's in the middle. Hallelujah. And all the day-to-day affairs and all the battles and all the struggles and all the wrestling and fighting the fight of faith. And don't misunderstand me, that is part of now. Hallelujah. And you need to be fighting the fight of faith. You need to be keeping your faith alive. You need to be keeping it strong. You need to keep that relationship with the Lord on a high level, hallelujah, so that you will be ready when that trumpet sounds, because you do not want to be here after it sounds. Oh, God of heaven, help us to realize things are coming that we don't want to be a part of. We want to be called out of here by the Holy Ghost of God when that trumpet sounds. But in Revelation chapter 21, I'm going to try not to read all of it, but I just want to give us a glimpse, fresh and anew, of what the Spirit of God began to reveal to John. Amen. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Anybody in here scared of water? You won't have to worry about it in the new heaven and the new earth. I'm sure you'll have water. There's a river of life. There's just no more sea. And I read that this afternoon. I thought, wow, that means that we can compass the whole earth. Travel from one point all the way around. Wow. The vastness of the new earth and the new heaven. The travel that can be done. Wow. Because you're going to have eternity to do it. Praise God. You can walk all the way around the world because you'll have time. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, you can run if you want to run because you're going to have a glorified body. Hallelujah. Praise God. One thing about it is more than likely we won't even have to walk or run. We'll just be there. Glorified body. But this is coming. This is the end. This is coming. This is what we're living for. This is what God's working towards. A new heaven, a new earth, a new holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Hallelujah. Prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Hallelujah. We're going to see God. He's going to be there. We're going to be there face to face with him. Praise our God. Amen. He's going to dwell there. Right now, it's a spiritual kingdom. Right now, he speaks through his word. Right now, he speaks through the Holy Ghost of God that abides within us. But when we're in that new heaven and new earth, it's going to be a literal conversation with God, with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is the final words of the book of Revelation. This is not really what I'm after in this message, but I'm building up to the reality of what the final words are saying in the book of Revelation of what God is planning for those who will walk with him and those who will humble themselves and those who will be obedient to his word. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying, neither there'll be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. Wow. Hallelujah. See, he said that once before. Amen. At a middle phase of God's plan of salvation, when he was hanging on that cross, he said it a little bit different. He said, it is finished. But now here in the final words, he says, it is done. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And so we see then the assuredness that we have, because I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Say, I don't want part of that. No, I want to be that overcomer. Amen. I want to be that one that walks with God. I want to be that one, hallelujah, that is his son. Praise God. Amen. Allowing God to work the wonderful works of his plan of salvation in my life. That's the one. And then he goes on and he gives us, I'm not going to read it all, but he gives us a description of that holy city. And yes, it's made out of gold. And the streets are paved with gold. It's got 12 gates. And each gate is one solid pearl. All the riches of this world are building materials in that city. Hallelujah. Praise God. And those that have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, their names put there, are the ones that are going to dwell there. And it's got foundations. I'm not for sure how this is all going to work. But all the foundations, it's not going to be concrete, Brother Jason. No, it's going to be precious stones. The riches of this world are going to be the foundations of the wall. Hallelujah. You see, that's why the things of this world cannot compare to the things that God has prepared for those that love Him and keep His commandments. Hallelujah. This is what's coming. This is some of the final words of the book of Revelation. And yes, Sister Pepper, in chapter 22, and He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. See, in other words, its source is not a mountaintop somewhere and snow melting and making its way down. Its source is the very throne room of God, the very source of life itself. Hallelujah. And that river of life and those trees around that river and 12 manners of fruit. I mean, glory. Hallelujah. What God's prepared. And this is not everything. This is not everything. There are things that we do not yet know that God is preparing for us. And I say us because we are believers. We're followers of Christ. We are going all the way through. Hallelujah. But where I want to go ahead and start closing this down and bring it to my message here tonight and the points here tonight of some of the final words of God. Moving to the latter part of Revelation chapter number 22. And in verse number 17, we find one final invitation. The Bible's closing, the book's closing, Revelation chapter 22 is coming to an end, and we find a final invitation in verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The final invitation in God's word. God's final word is a final invitation to come. Come, drink of that water. Come, partake of that life. Amen. It's a final invitation of whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Water, you know, you can live without food quite a while, but you can't live without water but for a short period of time. And so water is always a symbol of the sustaining of life. And that spiritual life can only, and I say this boldly, only be sustained as I'm drinking from the fountain that flows from the throne room of God. That fountain is the Spirit of God. Amen. It's a literal river here. But that fountain to us spiritually now, right here on our way to that final place, is the Spirit of God, that river of life, that Spirit of God, helping us, teaching us, training us, drawing us closer to our God and being partakers of that invitation, drinking of the water of life freely. So you don't have to. But if you really want life, God says, come. Come. If there's something missing in your life, He says, come. Come drink. Drink of this water. He that's thirsty. What is that? That's that individual who realizes. It's that individual who begins to consider their ways. And they begin to realize that something's missing in their lives. And they're thirsting for it, or they're hungering for it, they're longing for it. They don't know what it is, but yet it's pulling on them. That's who He's talking to. Come, Drink of this water of life. Drink of this Spirit of God. Drink of this well of salvation. Hallelujah. Of the wonderful things that God wants to do in the heart of someone who will just believe Him. Believe Him. Trust Him. We have a final invitation in verse number 17. In verses 18 and 19, we find a final warning. You'll always find that. That warning usually is not very far from the invitation. Because even though God will not make someone believe, He always lets them know what the results of unbelief will bring. The final warning in verses 18 and 19 says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from those things which are written in this book." That lets me know that there's only one way to walk, and that's according to God's word. Because if I want to leave some of it behind, then I ain't going to make it. And if I want to create my own road, then I ain't going to make it. But I got to walk His road. And His road is that old crossroad. It's that crossroad because it's only through the cross and the finished work thereof that I can have access through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's phase one of the old crossroad. And the other phase of the old crossroad is where I am crucified with Christ. And not I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That death to the old man, the old crossroad, it is the path of life. Hallelujah. And God makes that declaration right here in the final words of God's word, that you can't leave anything out and you can't add anything to what God has already done. Woo, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And so there's a final warning in God's last words, in God's final words. Next, there's a final promise. It's amazing. Hallelujah. There's a final promise. Verse number 20. "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." The promise of His return. The promise. See, right here in the final words of God revealing Christ Jesus to the world, says, "I'm coming quickly." That should seal it up of any doubt that I may have about the rapture. Because right in the final words of God's word, what does He say? "I'm coming quickly." It's that promise of the return of Christ. Hallelujah. You read about it in the Old Testament. You read about it in the New Testament. You read about it in Acts. When Christ ascends, it all goes together. And Paul begins to give us a little insight into it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 of how it's going to transpire and how it's going to happen. But the promise is God's. He's coming quickly. Hallelujah. Then you're going to find, right after that final promise, you're going to find the final prayer. The latter part of verse number 20 says, "Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." It's a prayer. "Lord, work your will. Lord, have your way." It's the final prayer of God's word. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Of course, it's in reference to His promise that He's coming, but it's also a reality of a surrender to the will of God. The final prayer in God's word is a prayer of surrender. A prayer of surrender. It's all It amazed me as I began to read this and see this. It amazed me how God put the fullness of the gospel right in the last portions of his word, just so you and I could believe. You and I could believe. He starts out Genesis chapter 1 speaking, and things happen. All through the Bible speaking, and things are happening. All through the New Testament speaking, and things are happening. All the way to the book of Revelation speaking and showing the things that are going to happen. And then sealing it up once again with the opportunity to follow Christ. Lastly is the final benediction. Verse 21. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. God's word begins with his creation. God's word ends with his grace. Wow. We're saved by grace. Not of any works that we have done, but it's the grace of God. God has provided, and I cannot reiterate this enough, because sometimes it just goes past our minds. Sister Pepper made mention of the fact of humanism. Humanism is your greatest enemy to faith. Your thoughts above God's thoughts. That's what humanism is all about. Man thinking that he can save himself. Man thinking he doesn't even need a Savior. Man thinking that he's doing all right the way that he is. And yet we see chaos upon top of chaos, and evil upon top of evil, and especially in America, where humanism is the religion of America. Yeah, we got a bunch of idolaters serving themselves. That's what humanism's all about. However you see it, that's good enough for you. Whatever you feel like doing, well, you're your own boss. I'm here to tell you here tonight, you are not your own boss. If you are your own boss, then you're headed for a place called the lake of fire. Because you have a boss, his name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the Savior of the world, and all power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. And we will all stand before him and be judged in the last days. Hallelujah. And so we see then, grace is how God's word ends. God's final words to you and I, helping you and I turn away from our self life and turn full into his life. Hallelujah. Quit calling your own shots and let Jesus Christ begin to lead and guide your life. You're not going to have Christianity your way. You're going to have Christianity God's way, or it's no way. That's the only way you and I will be saved. Hallelujah. When we adhere or take heed to God's final words. Would you come back to the piano, Sister Pepper?